I want to talk tonight about expectations. Did you come to church tonight expecting something from God? I did. Amen? Expecting. This is a beautiful sign of expectations in Acts chapter 3. We're going to read from Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. Vindecarea ologului din naștere. Fapte, capitolul 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 3. It's a very well-known sermon, a very well-known passage. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us. Look at us. Look at us." He gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, and we all know this one, right? This is the one we teach our Sunday school children. "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. He expected to receive something from them. You may be seated in the presence of God. Praise be to the Lord. The Holy Spirit is in this place. The Holy Spirit is in this place. Are you expecting something from God? Expect to rise. My message tonight, expect to rise. What is an expectation? Ce înseamnă să ai o așteptare? It's the strong belief that something should happen. You believe that something should happen or something will happen. As opposed to an assumption, let's say. What is an assumption? Assuming this, maybe something will happen. A maybe. Maybe will happen if these things line up. In our lives, we have expectations. We always are fighting against expectations. When we have really high expectations, we live very stressful lives where we impose on ourselves expectations. And oftentimes when we come up against anxiety and stress, it's because of high expectations. You have high expectations of our children as parents. We expect our kids to come home with straight A's, right? And when they don't, and they're not living up to our expectations, then there are some repercussions. They get things taken away. They get yelled at, maybe. We get angry at them. We ground them. There are so many ways that you raise expectations. And with the higher the expectation, the higher the stress. Then we live low expectations. People that don't expect anything of themselves, or they have low expectations. Have you been in a relationship where you had low expectations? Where you didn't expect anything to happen? No? Have you been in a job where you had low expectations? In a role where you had low expectations? Or maybe in a church where you had low expectations? And you came to church expecting that nothing really big is going to happen. Things are going to go just like they normally do. It'll be just business as usual. Low expectations. We have false expectations. We believe that something will happen because we ne închipuim. No? Închipuiri. Illusions that we create for ourselves in our own brain. There's a quick fix for everything these days. You want to lose weight? Take this pill. Take this pill once a day for 30 days and you lose weight. And then 30 days later, you're still at the same weight and you're wondering why. False expectations. False expectations that the market's going to turn out good and then when is the right time to sell your house and make a profit, or when is the right time to start your business. And we have false expectations. I must do this and that work in order to get this fix. Quick fixes. False expectation. Proverbs 10:28 says, "The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish." The expectation of the wicked. There is the expectation of the wicked also. People are expecting you to fail. People are expecting you to die, maybe, of cancer. We heard this morning the beautiful testimony of Peter, right? For those of you who are here or watching, maybe online, what a wonderful testimony in our church. Goes in and the doctor expects the results to be cancer, and the results are cancer-free. Praise God. Praise God when the enemy's false expectations, the wicked's expectations perish, right? Then we also generally get what we expect in life. I don't trust men, so I'm not going to get into a relationship. You get what you expect. People don't get me. People don't understand me. So I'm not going to join a group and be part of a ministry because nobody really understands me. You get what you expect. I can't go back to school. It's too late. I don't speak English very good. I can't go back and get my degree. You get what you expect. I'm not going to pass this class, no matter how hard I study. You get what you expect. I'm too old. I'm too old for this ministry. I'm too old to start preaching. Nobody cares about me anymore. You get what you expect. Faith is designed to raise your expectations. To raise your expectations. Here we have a picture of a man who's trying to make something good of a bad situation. The Bible says that he was lame from his mother's womb. It was not his fault that he was lame. You know, it's one thing to have walked once, to remember what it's like to walk. At least you remember, you have the memory of it. But to be born lame, that's something that you can't undo. Who's he going to blame for that? Who is he going to blame? He could say, you know, it was a circumstance, but it wasn't. And he's trying to make the best out of a really bad situation. And what does he do? Something happens to him, and the Bible says that it happens to him daily. Every day. In fiecare zi, era dus la templu. He was taken to the temple and put in front of a gate called Beautiful. Every day, morning, where are you going, Andrew? I'm going to the temple. Where are you coming back from? Oh, you know, back from the temple. How many coins did they give you today? Well, I made about 3 or 4 coins. Is that better than yesterday? No, about the same. Every day, routine. Routine. A pattern that happens in his life. Every day, they pick him up. The Bible says they had to be picked up. He didn't have a wheelchair or anything to take him. He had to be picked up by somebody. He had to find a ride. Somebody would pick him up and they would drop him at the temple every day. A pattern. Everyday routine. That was his routine. But praise God, because he loves to break routines. Praise God, because he loves to break patterns. And God is in the business of breaking routine. Israel, slaving for 430 years. A pattern, a routine. There were kids that were born in slavery. 400 years later, there were generations that had never known freedom. They didn't even know what freedom looked like or tasted like. And it was a pattern, and it was a routine. And they had began to think like slaves. There was no better way to become. There's no better way to lift ourselves up out of this situation. Pattern, routine. Until God comes and breaks their pattern. Breaks the routine. And he takes them out of Egypt in one night. And then he spends the next 40 years trying to take Egypt out of them. Trying to take the routine out of their mind. To break the pattern of thinking. The pattern. It is about breaking the pattern. Breaking the routine. What do you do every day? What is your pattern? You know, if I had to follow you guys around, I'm pretty sure that all of you have a pattern. You go to the same gas station every day. You go to the same grocery store every day. If somebody really wanted to hurt you and they sent the hitman to get you, it would be very easy. You know, Trump has to figure out ways to break his routine. His CIA service, CIA service of the president, they have to figure out ways to make sure that there is no pattern in his routine. So he doesn't wake up in the same place or doesn't go out the same way. They have to travel different routes. They have to change routes. And only a few people should know those routes. But you do things every day. Thank you. Thank God that you don't have a big target on your back. And you do things the same every day. You wake up at a certain hour every day. You go to work. You take your kids to school. And you have routine. Those of you who are stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home dads know this too. Routine is part of that. And if you don't sometimes stay to a routine, then your whole day is messed up. If one little thing happens in your routine that pulls you away or throws you off, your whole day can be gone. Routine. What is your routine? We have routines and patterns of thought and of life, too. We have routines in the way we think. We have routines in our service as a church. You know, this will be in October, the third time that I have to go back to a refugee camp in Greece. And every time I go there and I meet the refugees, there's always something that they say to me about their situation. They don't think they can get out of their situation. Many of these people, you know, children, some of them unaccompanied by their parents. Some of their parents were killed by ISIS, or they were killed in the war. They come across by themselves. And even though they've made a death-defying escape, they still don't believe they can get out of their situation. What happens when you're raised in war? What happens when you see your friends at school killed in front of you? What happens when you see your parents, your mother, killed in front of you? And now you can't even hear the word mother. If you say the word mother to them, they start to cry. Some of them go and cut themselves to feel that they're still alive. And they say, you look in their eyes, and when you've been through that every single day of your life, you've been into a routine of misery and pain and suffering, the light goes out from your eyes. And that's the saddest thing that you will ever look upon as a parent, into the eyes of a child whose light has gone out of his eyes. Cei care sunteți părinți, mă înțelegeți, those of you who are parents, to look into the eyes of a child that no longer has a childhood. A child whose routine is death. Routine is misery. And if you've never experienced anything else in your life, if you've never experienced anything else, you don't know anything better. So you think you will never be able to escape. And you think that life is nothing more than a refugee camp. And you get out of the camp, and you go into a city, and you don't know because you've lived in a camp all your life. You know, they have this problem also with people who come out of prison. If you've been in prison a long time, there are very high chances that you'll go back to prison. The statistics are very high for people who've spent years and years in prison. Some people commit crimes just so they can go back to prison because it's better in prison than it is in the world. Routine. In routine, you start to develop a mindset. If you can't see better, you can't do better. You have to be able to see better. It's a matter of how you see. He has been lame from his mother's womb. It's all he's ever known. If all you've ever seen is poverty, if all you've ever seen is brokenness, if all you've ever known is pain and fighting with your husband or wife, it's in your mind. And now you're attracted to what you've been exposed to. Did you know that young girls who grow up with an abusive father end up marrying an abusive man? Of course, this is not the case for everyone, but the chances are very high. You're attracted to what you're exposed to. So if you've been lame all your life, they're going to pick you up, and he says, take me to where the lame people are. I want to be there with them. I'm accepted among them. And they created this routine for him. Routine is what you build around something that you think you can't change. Rutina o construiești în jurul unui lucru care nu crezi că îl poți schimba. You can't change it, so you build a routine around it. And then you start to forget what day it is. Every day you end up in the same spot, so then every day looks the same. You wake up and you wonder, have you ever been in a moment you woke up and you didn't know if it was Tuesday or Wednesday? Oare ce zi e astăzi? E rutină. E rutină, nu mai știi. Toate zilele se amestecă una între alta. All the days melt into each other. And when every day looks the same, you stop appreciating mornings. And here he is with an ugly problem at a beautiful place. He's at the gate called Beautiful, in the routine, every day, with an ugly problem at a beautiful place. Isn't that a paradox? Isn't that a look at the contrast of this man's life. To have an ugly problem at a beautiful place. And he's there at the gate. And what is the gate? What is the gate meant to do? It's meant to give him access, right? O ușă, ce înseamnă ușă? Înseamnă acces. Înseamnă oportunitate. El nu poate să meargă. He cannot go inside through the gate. It means access. To be so close to something, but you can't go in. To be so close. But you can only get near. You cannot go through. And you're watching people going through. And you're seeing them going in. And you cannot go in. Everybody else was going in, but he was going near. And when you live a life like that, when you're watching other people going through the gate, and you're not, you start to think that you're cursed. Other people are having kids and I'm not. I must be cursed. Other people are being blessed financially and I'm not. I must be cursed. Other people are having beautiful, amazing marriages and I'm not. I must be cursed. And then the devil starts putting in your mind this thought that you are cursed. you are so near, but you can't get through, and you're watching other people coming through the gate. And then you start making excuses for yourself, and you say, maybe it's not for me. Maybe I'm not meant to be happy. Maybe I'm not meant to be married. Maybe I'm not meant to be a pastor. Maybe I'm not meant to be in ministry. Maybe this career that I thought was for me, maybe it's not for me. I'm not meant for it. I'm not good enough for it. And then you start to make excuses about your past. If it would have been for my mom, if my dad would have talked to me, if I would have had a good father, if I would have had a good mother, if I came from a better family, then it would have been better. My teachers didn't like me. My sisters didn't support me. I never got any support from my brothers. And you like to be with the lame. Lameness attracts lameness. Lame people like to hang out with lame people. They don't want to hang out with people that can walk, because then it challenges you. Lameness always likes to hang out with lameness. You know, the interesting thing that I thought is that the temple inside is spiritually inside lame, like the man is lame on the outside. They're grappling with this idea 2 years after Christ's resurrection, if Jesus Christ was even real. And they're telling themselves that Jesus is not the Messiah. It's a temple that is in spiritual lameness. And here's a lame man rubbing up against a lame situation. A lame, spiritually, theologically lame situation. Lameness likes to rub up against lameness. I'm comforted by the fact that my friends don't have it either. You don't like your husband either. So let's go out and have lunch and talk about our nasty husbands. You don't like your job either. So let's have lunch and talk about our jobs, how much we hate them. Oh, you don't like church either? Sure, let's get together and talk about how I don't like church and how you don't like church. Dysfunction loves community. Dysfunction loves company. Miserable people like to hang out with miserable people because happy people get on their nerves. Look at him coming in grinning and happy all the time. What's up with him? Why is she smiling like that the whole time? Look at his, what's going on with her? You see her, she's always smiling. Something's wrong with her. When blessing irritates you, it's because you're not walking in your own blessing. When the blessing of other people irritates you, it's because you are not walking in your blessing. Show me who your friends are. What are you comfortable being laid besides? The Lord wants you to know that you are at the gate, and the gate is access and opportunity. Your life doesn't have to be routine. You're living the life that you expect. What life are you expecting to live? And some of you have made a routine out of being miserable. You've made a routine out of being miserable that when you're happy, people think something's wrong. You know? Mama wakes up happy. What's wrong, Mama? Normally, you're upset. You're making routine. You're making your misery routine. And you're getting mad because you see that I'm walking through my gate. And I'm not afraid to go through my gate. I don't know if I'm going to go to church today. I don't know. I'm going to decide. I'm going to have to decide. I don't know if I'm going to church today. Because you don't have a dream to feed. Because you don't have expectation. But if you're expecting something, you're going to come. And you're going to get out of routine. Somebody tonight is going to break their routine. And the Lord has told me to bring this message to you so that you will break your routine tonight. You're not going to go back on Monday and continue the same routine. Are you in trouble? Break your routine. Do you need healing? Break your routine. Do you want peace in your family? Break your routine. Shock somebody this week. Go to some place you normally don't go. Read something you normally don't read. Pick up the phone and call somebody that you would never call. Break your routine this week. The other thing that's interesting is that religion walked past them and they threw in his cup coins. Religion goes by. Religion has its own routine. And religion goes and puts a little coin in his cup, throwing in his cup, but it couldn't raise him up. Church on Sunday, ooh, they sang nice. I got goosebumps. Did you hear her voice? Oh, the preacher did preach so good. All you're getting is coins in your cup. You get a coin here, a coin there. It doesn't change anything. Oh, I just felt better. You go to church and you come back home and you just say, oh, I felt better. It didn't change anything, but I felt better. Just a few coins in your cup. You go back to the same routine. You put on your clothes on Saturday. You put them out to see which dress you're going to wear, what shirt you're going to wear, what colors you're going to be coordinating this week. You get the gas, you get the car filled up with gas. Maybe you wash the car because tomorrow is church and you got to go and you've got to get the routine, right? You've got to get the routine. Brothers and sisters, it's not about going. It's about expecting. You could come to church for the next 35 years of your life and get out, end up nothing with just a few coins in your cup. But if you really want something to change radically in your life, you come expecting something, brothers and sisters. How long has it been since you came to church expecting? If you come getting goosebumps, you leave with nothing but goosebumps. But if you want a radical transformation in your life, and I believe there are people here tonight that want a radical transformation, and they're tired of getting just coins in their cup. They want healing in their life. They want a transformation. They want to go to the next level. And they want God to heal their family, their broken relationships, to help them to break the routine. But you see, the Lord, the beautiful thing about this whole scripture is that the Lord meets him in the routine. In the routine. If he had missed going to the temple that day, perhaps he wouldn't have met with Peter and John. The Lord meets you in your routine. It's here in the routine that he comes and encounters you. Routine made him believe that he couldn't get out. Religion came and threw just a few coins in his cup. But here comes relationship. Peter and John. And I thought of myself, why Peter and John? Why couldn't it be been like, you know, Thomas or Bartholomew or Andrew and James? Why did it have to be Peter and John? Because Peter and John, everywhere Jesus went that was important, who was there? It's Peter, John, and James. Peter and John have the relationship. And they come and the first thing they say, I love it. They say, look at us. Look at us. Isn't that beautiful? Relationship comes and says, religion doesn't look at you. Religion throws coins in your cup and moves on. Relationship comes and says, look at me. Hallelujah. It's the same phrase that Jesus used. Look in my eyes, look in me. Priveshtema. Look in me. Look at us. I may not be shiny. I may not be pretty. I may not be rich. I may not be amazing. But I know who I am. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. Look at us. Why? Because Peter and John were poor? I thought about the verse and I said, well, they say silver and gold have I not. Oh, poor, broke Peter and John. And we think about them like they didn't have. No. This isn't about them being broke. They came to the temple. When you come to the temple, you already come prepared. They had money for the temple, for the sacrifices. They were not talking about silver and gold. It was about dimensions. It was saying, I am not going to play into your expectation. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They had relationship. They knew who they were. When you have a relationship with Jesus, you learn to expect something different every day of your life. How are you expecting tomorrow to be? How are you expecting Monday to be? What's going to happen tomorrow? Are you expecting Jesus to do something? Or do you just want to wait till you get to church on Sunday to experience God? Your life is always going to be the same. Unless church gets into your Monday, unless church gets into your Tuesday, unless church gets into your Friday, Saturday, every day your life will be the same. Lord, make this church be a reality Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so that the same presence of God that you saw here will be in your life every single day. And then when they say, look at us, they didn't need to go into the temple to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They already came worshiping God. When they didn't need to go and get a worship team to work them up and get a worship team to sing a wonderful set so they could get them fired up. They started worshiping at home. They started worshiping in the car. They started worshiping in the grocery store. And by the time they got to the temple, it was already on fire. Because God wants your everyday. He wants to break your routine. We didn't wait. We didn't wait to get here to worship God. We are praising God all the way. Look at us. Look at us. Look at us, church. What are we expecting? Relationship always challenges routine. That's why some of your friends don't like you. And they will never like you. Because relationship challenges routine. Relationship challenges the status quo. And if you want everybody to like you, then go and have routine and have status quo. And get into what everybody is doing and what everybody likes. That next week will be a different routine. And what I love, in closing, what happens here. You know, they don't pray for him. They don't pray for him. They don't say, kneel down, we're going to bring and pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God Almighty, you who have the power to heal this man. Lord Jesus, how we pray. Come on, brothers, let's gather around five or six of us. Let's keep Doamne Dumnezeule din ceruri. No, they didn't do any of that. They didn't even ask God. They didn't even look in God and say, God, what do you want with this guy? They spoke to his condition. They commanded his routine. They spoke to the infirmity, and they commanded it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They spoke to the circumstance. Why don't people do that today? I wondered. Why don't I do that today? Suppose it doesn't work, right? Suppose it doesn't work. Suppose you say to the cancer, "Cancer, I command you to leave," and it doesn't work. Why didn't they pray? There's nothing wrong with praying. But if they had prayed and nothing happened, they would have blamed God. Well, maybe God didn't want, maybe now it's not the time. Maybe who knows, you know, maybe there's sin and we have to go back and figure it out. Maybe we have to go fast for another 5 and 10, 15 days and see what happens. They spoke in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I command you. Routine, end routine. And guess what? It's beautiful, guys. They pray and nothing happens. He says it and nothing happens. Let's pay attention to the word and let's see what happens. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And, there's always an and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And he took him by the right hand. Somewhere in between Peter grabbing his hand and rising up, somewhere in between being down low and up high, the miracle happened. Somewhere there, Peter needed to do. Remember what happened to Peter when Peter had to get out of the boat and walk on the water? Peter learned his lesson. You have to back up words with action. You can't just command things to go away. You have to stretch out your hand and yank him out. Stretch out your hand and yank him out. There's many people here tonight that need help. It's not enough that you speak to their circumstance. It's not enough that you pray and you fast. It's not enough that you anoint them with oil. You have to go and you have to yank them out. You have to go and you have to find them where they are in their routine, and you have to stretch out your hand. If you're a person like that tonight that needs someone to reach out and yank you out, stretch out your hand. Allow yourself to be grabbed and yanked out and pulled out. And somewhere there, between the low situation where you're at, and he gets up first. It's beautiful. If you just imagine it. Prima data se sprigina de forza lui Petru, Peter's force, pulling him up. But as he's pulling Peter, as Peter's pulling him up, he starts to strengthen his own feet. And then it goes from dimension to dimension. And then he's walking. And then he's leaping. And then he's praising God. The miracle is in the process. The miracle is in the process. But he needed someone to wake him up, to get him up. You can't hang around lame people. You need strong people in your life to yank you out. Stop hanging around lame people. Stop hanging around people that want you to just be down. Surround your life and surround yourself with people that will pull you up. Lord, send Peter and John's in this church and be people that pull other people up. It was so beautiful to see on our way back from the picnic. I saw what was happening and my heart was filled with joy because I saw there were people that were sitting, they had left their, you know, when we first went, everybody sat with their husbands and their wives, and then some people just started shifting around, and they started ministering, and they started going and talking to people that needed to have someone there to talk to them. A sister went to another sister and said, "Let's take a walk. Let's talk. I'm here to yank you out. I'm not going to leave you by yourself." This is what Emmanuel Church is about. This is what church is about. You need to reach out. You need to reach out. Grab somebody by the hand. Yank them out. Jesus says, Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. It's not you knocking at the door called beautiful. It's Jesus. And he's been looking for you. And he's been waiting for you in your routine. I want us to stand tonight and close in prayer. What I want to do is if I don't think it's too much to ask. If anybody here tonight wants prayer to get out of their routine, you can come up front and we'll close in prayer with you. I don't know what your routine is. I don't know if you've turned misery into a routine. But God is here to meet you where you are. And it's the relationship that's waiting for you. Do you want a real relationship with Jesus? Do you want something authentic and true to take with you every day of the week, not just on Sunday, but every single day? Then come up front and we'll pray for you. The pastors and everyone here will pray for you to break that routine. To break the routine. Andrew, if you want to come with just the guitar, or however you guys want to do it, just as we go before the Lord. I know there's food back there. It's waiting for us. I know people have to go home. But there's some people in here that just need a breakthrough, guys. I know it. There's people in this place tonight that need to break their routine. There's people in this place tonight that need Jesus to come and yank them from where they are. And if you are that person, don't be afraid. This is the reason church exists. It doesn't exist for anything else but for this reason.